after this series, after this month, you have to be. Glory to God. Now, we said that wisdom is what? The principal thing. There are no marriage problems. There are no financial problems. There are no business problems. When people say, this is the problem I have, it's not true. Wisdom is the principal thing. The real challenge is the challenge of acquiring wisdom. We established early on in the series as well that wisdom is not a function of your intellect. So it's not how intelligent you are. You can be knowledgeably stupid. You can be knowledgeably an idiot. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I do not say that in a bad way. I'm just saying facts. You get what I'm saying here? So knowledge, you can have a lot of knowledge and yet not be wise, because wisdom is an impartation of God. All right, it tells us that Solomon received his wisdom because God granted him wisdom. We see that phrase repeated at least three times from 1 Kings, the third chapter, to 1 Kings, the fifth chapter. God, the Bible saying that, and God gave Solomon wisdom. In James chapter 3, verse 13 down to verse 15, you see there it talks about the four kinds of wisdom, and which we have looked into here. And I wouldn't take the time. Essential, earthly, devilish, and then the way he describes that wisdom, the divine wisdom, he says the wisdom that cometh from above. So there's a wisdom that cometh from above. And if it's from above, then it's above all. Am I right? In essence, the kind of results that it will produce will be above all. And I said the church has majored in the dimensions of power, and there's nothing wrong with that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible tells us about how that Christ has been made unto us the power of God and the wisdom of God. And I said, not many people in the church have an issue with revelation of the power of God, what the power of God can do, but the revelation of wisdom is at the infancy. All right. So we went further to say, and this is just to help us here, those who have not been around, just by way of reminding you, we went further to speak on what we call Luke 7:35. Wisdom, Jesus made a very absolute statement. He said, wisdom is justified of our children. In essence, you don't say you are wise. You show that you are wise. All right. So wisdom is not just, a collection of wise sayings and nice things being said and all of that. And then somebody, saying, a quotable quote or a tweetable tweet or something like that. No. Wisdom is justified of our results. Wisdom is justified of our children. And you actually need a level of humility to acknowledge that you may have knowledge on a subject, but you don't have wisdom on that subject. You need some level of humility to acknowledge that, because the difference between knowledge and wisdom is that knowledge informs, wisdom transforms. The difference between knowledge and wisdom is that knowledge gives you a sense of pride. That's why it says knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge gives you a sense of pride and the ability sometimes to communicate it. So you find people who are able to communicate certain truths, but then that truth is not finding expression in their lives, because knowledge is completely different from wisdom. Knowledge serves as the foundation and as the basis for wisdom, but it does not mean that because I'm knowledgeable, now I have wisdom. We looked at the five deeds of wisdom, the five results of wisdom, which means if you have wisdom in your life, these are the things that we'll see in your life, and a couple of them there, which I can't go into here. One of them being sound judgment, discernment, discretion, and sound judgment. You're able to look into situations, make sound judgments. The difference between who you are now and who you want to be is a decision. You get what I'm saying? It's a decision. The difference, in fact, the life you don't like now is a decision. That's the sincere truth. Sound judgment. Who to relate with, who not to relate with, when to say certain things, when not to say certain things. We looked at innovation and creativity there. We looked at breakthrough ideas and strategies. All the five, and I won't go into all of that, all the five results of wisdom. And last week, we went into the three kinds of wisdom, the three faces of wisdom. How that, it's like when we say love, love actually has four components or four parts in the Greek, all right? So you have agape love, you have filial love, you have eros love, erotic love, filial being love between friends, family love and all dress, agape being the unconditional love of God, and you have storge love. So when you say love, sometimes it's blind because we're speaking in English, you don't even know which particular love we're talking about. And so when we use the word wisdom as well, we just use it generically thinking that, you know, all wisdom is wisdom. But there are three kinds of wisdom there. There's the Sophia wisdom of God, which is the wisdom of the divine. That's the wisdom that really and truly, when we say revelation, we say rhema. And you know, somebody says, I saw it. As I was studying, I saw it, or I heard a voice from heaven. Really what people many a times are talking about there is the Sophia wisdom of God, which is the wisdom of divine things. But I said that when it comes to being a success on the face of the earth, it is not enough to have Sophia. That's why somebody may hear from God, get up now, go into the city of Abuja and plant me a church, and he will struggle with it for 20 years. Not because God did not say it, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 15, it says that the labor of the foolish wearieth them all, for he knoweth not how to go into the city. So God may show you the city, but there's a how to go into the city. Showing you the city, there is Sophia. This is the will of God, the knowledge of the divine, the wisdom of the divine. But then there is sunesis, and then there is phronesis. Sunesis referring to understanding, your ability to comprehend things. And when you study it, he says, Proverbs, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse, it says, wisdom is the principal thing, but with all your getting, get understanding. Sophia, I mean, if you read it in Septuagint, in the Hebrew Bible, it says chokma, which is wisdom, is the principal thing. But in the Greek, it says sophia is the principal thing. But with all of your getting, with all your getting, get sunesis, get understanding. The other example there that I gave is, look at Brother Emmanuel here. He has a wonderful family. I mean, you see himself, his wife and his daughter. Is a daughter, is it a boy, is a daughter? His daughter, okay, so boy is coming. Is a daughter, you get, is a daughter, and you can see the love between them and all dressed. Now, I mean, Manuel here is a very spiritual guy, so chances are that he didn't go the way me I went. It's by inward witness I knew my wife, you know, I mean, so maybe he was just in his room, and as he was in his room, the Holy Ghost said, sit up now, there's a cinema I want to play for you. And he just looks at the wall, and then he just sees this lady walking by. The Lord said, the bone of your bone, the rib of your rib. And he says, ah, who is she? And the moment he steps into fellowship that day, she comes in as a first timer. Supernatural way of knowing who your wife is, but it's no prediction of the health of that marriage. So you can have that Sophia of God supernaturally. You know, this is the person that I'm supposed to be engaged with, to be married to. But in no way does it determine if that marriage will last. That's why people can have Sophia and still make a mess of their lives. So you need sunesis there, and you need sunesis being critical analytic wisdom, understanding, comprehension. The Greek word actually means a mental putting together. And then you need phronesis, which is practical wisdom. And that's the wisdom really that you use to regulate yourself in your relationships. I mean, you get into certain places, you lose that opportunity the moment you say, can I take a picture with you? You know, you have to have that sense. I mean, it's not everybody you take picture with. Do you get what I'm saying here? It's not everybody you go and say, I want to take picture with. There are places you go to, you can wear jeans, and whether you're Gen Z or Gen X, there are places you go to and you know you have to wear tie. You can't say it's the culture, you know, I'm free, I'm liberated, I can. There are places you go to, you know, one of my sons was going to go and do his introduction, and he had this here, he had this chuku-chuku here, and, you know, something was painted like, you know, from heaven. So I looked at him, I said, is this how you want to present yourself to your in-laws? I said, you know better, you can't go and present yourself like this. I mean, color your hair back to normal. When you marry your wife, you can wear red, you can wear orange, it's your business. But the point is, you say, you know, I was in a vision. I saw myself. One spike here, and this side was red, this side was orange. Now, you just make your way hard, even though God told you, you get what I'm saying here? So you need phronesis. And, you know, when they say people don't have sense, it's phronesis. They may be deeply spiritual, but they don't have sense. You get to what I'm... And let me tell you something. This is not, it's Jesus that said it. So you can't be angry with me. Many believers don't have sense. I'm telling you the truth. It's Jesus that said it. He said, many of the children, okay, I've dealt with Christians. So many of the children, he said, the children of this generation are wiser than the children of light. And that word wiser there is not Sophia, it's phronesis. They have practical wisdom that many Christians don't have. Well, my prayer is this. You have sense. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 2, let's go into today's subject matter. Hallelujah. And by the way, this is on the subject, what wisdom is this? Oh? And during our prayers, we're dealing with a greater than Solomon is here, which is something else entirely. So you can get the materials for yourself. Proverbs chapter 2 from verse 1. Remember what I said. I said the value that you place on a thing determines the sacrifice you're willing to make to get that thing. The value, I mean, the sense of value that you have for that thing. And it's important just to stress it again that wisdom is not one of the things you need. It is the principal thing. In fact, let's read Proverbs chapter 4 first, and then we'll come back to Proverbs chapter 2. In verse 5, he says, get wisdom, Proverbs 4, 5, get understanding, forget it not, on and on. Verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve you. Love her, and she shall keep thee. It says, wisdom is the principal thing, on and on. Verse 8, exalt wisdom, and she shall promote you. So you want promotion, then exalt wisdom. It says, she shall bring you to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. All right. It says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be what? Many. It says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. This is David speaking to Solomon now. All right. And Solomon is, just laying these things out. It says, I have led thee in right path, and on. Verse 13, it says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. All right. And the reason why wisdom is a bit of a challenge for believers is that when we are talking about power, many a times it abdicates the responsibility to God. You get what I'm saying here? And many of us, particularly in Africa, that's the kind of religion we want. I want somebody who can wave a wand over my head and then it just says it's done, and I say it's done. For example, while I'm teaching about a greater than Solomon is here, we started examining, investigating how did Solomon become the wealthiest man on the face of the earth. I mean, we saw it clearly. There was nothing like miracle money alert. Nothing like that there. So if you are waiting for that, then you are, do you get what I'm saying here? There's nothing like somebody just waking up one morning and saying, hey, you know, I just could not rest. So I came to give you $1 million. Now, am I saying those things cannot happen? But it can happen, but it's not a sustainable way of entering into wealth. We looked into the life of Solomon. We see how that he was into enterprise. I mean, commerce, fleet of ships. We saw strategic alliances that he had and networks that he had. Hiram, the king of Tyre, and we saw all of that. We looked into his life, how that he packaged his knowledge into products that could be bought. And the Bible says that people came from every nation, everywhere, and they wanted to hear what he had to say. He was consulting for them. They were signing him checks, bringing him moles. The Bible actually adds, and it says they brought rate year by year, which means that certain people were on retainership, as it were, with Solomon. And so when you say that Solomon was the wealthiest man, it wasn't that heaven just opened up. You get what I'm saying here. In essence, wisdom is justified of our children. The Bible says in Proverbs, the 9th chapter, verse 1, it talks about how that wisdom has built our house and hewn out our 7 pillars. So when we are talking about wisdom, it builds something. It produces something. Are you following what I'm saying here? But when we are dealing with power, it's very easy for us to abdicate that responsibility. And that's why we like it in Africa. Abdicate that responsibility to God and say, God, you do it in the name of Jesus, name of Jesus. And then you expect an angel to move and things like that. But when it comes to wisdom, then you have to be involved in the process. Are you following what I'm saying here? You have to be. Now, by the way, you know this is a ministry that places high premium on the supernatural. So it's not because I'm critical of the supernatural. One of our, was it Thursday or Friday? I don't even know. We came in here, and then the Holy Ghost just decided to turn over. We're praying about wisdom and the helper, and it became a healing service. Almost 20 recorded miracles, instantaneous miracles. How then can I stand against miracles and others? I believe in it with all of my heart. But here's what I'm telling you. You cannot build a life of success on miracles. You can't build a life of success on miracles. That's why the subject of wisdom is extremely important. You read in chapter 8 as well, you see the power of wisdom there, the value of wisdom. But let's go back to chapter 2, and we'll take it from there. From verse 1, it says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and applying thine heart to understanding." Now, verse 3 is what I want you to see. Want to go. Let's read together. Want to go. It says, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding." So I want you to see the attitude here. In essence, you have to exchange, there has to be that exchange. That attitude you have to chase money, that attitude you have to chase connections, that attitude that you have there, that sense of desperation, looking for these external things. It says, "Cry instead after knowledge, lift up your voice instead for understanding." Can I have verse 4, please, very quickly? Verse 4 there. It says, "If thou seekest her," and this is what I want you to see there, there has to be that exchange. Tell the person beside you, there has to be that exchange. You see, the same way and manner you are seeking after silver, and you may not understand this, but what do you do 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day? Seeking after silver. What are you doing? And you are laboring in that place. You are sweating from morning till night. You get back home, you're so tired. And what you're doing there is that you are seeking silver. Let me tell you something. If you continue laboring in that way, there will be no progress in your life. The true measure of a man has never been his material acquisition. That's never been the true measure of a man. In essence, so if you feel like I'm laboring and then I'm getting this and I'm getting that, you are making a mistake, because material things always diminish. The only things that don't diminish are ideas and concepts. It's only wisdom that does not diminish. In essence, you can be seated right now, and then God plants an idea into your spirit, and 4 generations after, you will still eat from it. But the car you buy now, your son cannot drive it. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? In essence, you come up stage here and you say, "Oh, praise Master Jesus. You know, I was just walking out there on the road. And as I was walking, somebody said, 'How can you be walking? There's glory on your head.' And the person just came out of his car and gave me his key." Can you imagine how the Lord has answered my prayer? In 5 years' time, you may not be using that. In fact, that car will give you more problem, likely. Are you getting what I'm saying here? But if you are seated here, remember the $4 million candy business I shared with those of us during the prayers. The grannies on steroids, 2 ladies, elderly ladies, bankruptcy and all the rest. I mean, they began to pray Proverbs 8:12. "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out the knowledge of witty inventions." They began to pray that scripture there, began to give their tithes. Maybe second service or something like that. I'll play that video for them. I didn't extract it early enough. I'll play it, but maybe next week Sunday. And then they were just in a service like this, and God gave her sunesis. She just knew exactly how to make candy from xylitol candy from beginning to the end, packaging, advertisement, how to do it and address. In 2 years, they went out of bankruptcy and they were a $200,000 business. In 4 years, they were $4 million. And all of it was, you know, somebody can bring a check and give them, but they will finish spending it. Are you following what I'm saying here? So herein lies the problem, particularly with the African mind, that we have placed higher premium on material things. And that's why the moment somebody seems to hit some wealth, immediately starts wearing brands. He wants to wear Gucci. He wants to wear Prada. He wants to wear this. He wants to wear that. And you can, I mean, their hair is Gucci. Their nose is Prada. Their chest is Dolce. Their leg is Gabbana. And once you look at them, you can tell. I mean, and you know, Pastor Yola was saying something, and I've said it several times, that when people are truly wealthy, they are not moved by material things. It's a bridge you have to cross. I mean, in fact, nobody is truly wealthy who is moved by material things. Nobody is truly wealthy who is moved by those things.
Are you following what I'm saying? So we place higher premium on those things and we spend our lives. In fact, our idea of God really blessing us. This is where I want to get an adjustment I need us to make. Our true idea of God blessing us in the African church is that we got a house or we got a car. And whilst those things are important, how many of you remember that house on your street when you were growing up that all of you looked at and said, wow. Wow, this is, you know, everybody grew up in a street where somebody was the richest. How many of you know what I'm saying here? And usually, it was not your daddy. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, usually it was never your daddy. I mean, you are just passing by. Oh, I know. One or two is your daddy. All right. But usually it's never your dad. So you are passing by. I remember growing up on DG Street, FHA, Federal Housing Authority, Ekpaja, Lagos. I remember DG3. That was the house we grew up in. And there was this house that had cable. Do you know what it was to have? You know that cable thing that would turn like this? And then they had this huge satellite and we would pass. And I'm like, why? Is it when they were giving birth to children? This angel, I'm going to deal with you. Why can't I enter here? And I can never forget the day we had access into the house. Because, and a couple of us kids entered the house. And I was watching cable for the first time. I looked at it. I looked into the house. I saw the cars. My goodness. I thought to myself, I said, this life is not fair. This life is not normal. But how many of you have gone back to that same place now? You see that same house. And you are like, you even if they gave you for rent, you won't take the same house. Because everything natural, material diminishes. So we have to come up in our synesis, our understanding of life, to place higher premium on the things that don't diminish. Now, herein is the law of life. Whatever is of highest value to you is what keeps coming to you. Is somebody following what I'm saying? Whatever is of highest value to you is what keeps coming to you. So there has to be that adjustment. Give me my Proverbs 2 back, please. Proverbs 2. It says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as what? Hid treasures. Say with me, hid treasures. So you don't find it on the surface. It says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, very powerful scripture. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Say with me, the Lord giveth wisdom. So where does wisdom come from? The Lord. You can't lean on your understanding or your intellect. A master's does not equate wisdom. A PhD does not equate wisdom. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He says that he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Now stay with me. We are going somewhere here. If it says the Lord giveth wisdom, then it means that there must be a channel or a system established by God wherewith and whereby we can access the wisdom that he gives. The Lord giveth wisdom. God is a God of principles and of laws. He's not haphazard and all the rest. There must be a system and a channel wherewith we can access the wisdom that he gives. Now, please listen to me. You have no idea. You should know by now that you have no idea where I'm going to. Do you get what I'm saying? You should know by now. All right. First Kings chapter 4, verse 30. You have no idea, so just calm down. First Kings chapter 4, because you're risen, the Lord giveth wisdom, so collect it. First Kings chapter 4, verse 30. There's something I wanted you to see there that's very powerful, and we're going to tie it into the Lord giveth wisdom. It says, and Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of the children of the east country. Underline the word east country. There's a very powerful implication there. It says, Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country. Why did he particularly mention these two cases? The east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. Let's establish what the east country is. That's Babylon, the location where Babylon is located, present-day Iran. You know, present-day Iran is where Esther, Ahasuerus, and all the rest, I mean, is Babylon. That's the present-day Iran. Now, so when they say the east country in scriptures, many a times it's talking about that kingdom that extended from present-day Iran to India. That's, in present-day country terminologies. all right, extended that, it was that wide and all dressed. But in scriptural terminologies, you're referring to the nation, the conquered land around Babylon and all the rest. Now, so the question we should ask ourselves is, why under heaven should he mention this? Let's do a bit of study here. Why did he say the wisdom of Solomon excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East? And then it gives you an understanding into what really this wisdom we are talking about is. I've told you that when you're functioning in this wisdom, it's like what happened to Jesus. Mark chapter 6 verse 2. They said, what wisdom is this that this mighty works? In essence, people will see things and come to a conclusion that this is not normal by the human mind. And let me tell us something here. Believers, we need to rise up. Are you following what I'm saying? We need to rise up. Thank God for the demonstration of power, but it's time to build things by wisdom that the world has to come to an acknowledgement of the fact that this wisdom, we have shown the world that there's higher power in the church. Do you agree with me? Right now, even they know. They know full well that is why Babalawos are turning to pastors. It's not pastors that are turning to Babalawo. Oh, you don't know Babalawos are turning to pastors? Wearing suit and tie. You think Babalawos are wearing shekere alone? No. Okay. So if they are making a career switch, if they are making that kind of career switch, it tells you something, that they have seen something that we have. And it's not new. In the book of Acts, it tells us that Simon the sorcerer saw the power that was at work in the apostles. He brought money. He said, I need this power that you have, this one you have. He was Simon the sorcerer. Have you forgotten? In essence, how can a sorcerer see power and bring money for power? So he saw that, no. Power past power. Now, we have said it over and over, power past power. It's time to say wisdom past wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying? So we are going to build things and they will know that clearly this wisdom does not exist amongst men. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, but you have to open your heart to the possibility of it. Let's move on here. Look at the book of Acts chapter 7. We're talking about the wisdom, that Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. Acts chapter 7 verse 22. We're going somewhere here. Acts chapter 7 and verse 22. It says, let's read together, I want to go. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Say with me, the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was mighty in words and in what? Deeds. So he says he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. The question we should ask ourselves is, when it talks about the wisdom of the children of the East, when it talks about the wisdom of the Egyptians, what exactly is it referring to? Was he just referring to book knowledge, which is included? We're going to see it in just a bit, which is included, but it's far more than that. And for the scripture to compare the wisdom of Solomon and says he excelled. So what Moses was learned in, Solomon excelled it. Are you following what I'm saying here? For the Bible to say that he excelled it, there must be something about it. Let's look at this wisdom here. Look at the life of Joseph, Genesis chapter 41. And we'll just pick a few scriptures here and there. And I want you to see how these people were referred to. Genesis 41 verse 8. Please take note of these scriptures. Let's start with Joseph. Genesis 41 and verse 8. Whoever is on my screen should please be fast. Genesis 41 and verse 8. It says, and it came to pass in the morning that his spirit, that's the king, was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt. Do you see that? All right, everybody read the next sentence they want to go. And all the wise men thereof. So who were the wise men of Egypt? They were magicians. Are you following what I'm saying? We're going to see this in just a bit. In essence, when they say that the wisdom of Egypt or the wisdom of the children of the East, it was always connected to magic and sorcery, the ability to bend knowledge that is not available to the natural man to produce supernatural results. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means these were men who had access to certain kind of knowledge, and they were able to use that knowledge to produce results that was beyond the average person. They called them wise men, not powerful men. We're building something here. Please stay with me. It says, call for all the magicians of Egypt. Let's continue. And all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. So who were the wise men of Egypt? We're already beginning to see the company there. The other name they are called. What are they called? Magicians. Look at verse 33 of that same Genesis 41. Please take note of this text. Building to something here. 41:33. It says, now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. This is Joseph speaking after interpreting the dream and giving his own idea. Now, look at verse 39 of that same Genesis 41. Verse 39. All right, let's read together. I want to go. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God had showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and as wise as thou art, including all my magicians. Are you following what I'm saying here? In essence, all these magicians you're looking at, these wise men you're looking at, there is none as discreet and as wise as you are. Now, and I want you to understand something, because when you say magic, immediately our minds are thinking of Africa juju and things like that. No, there was a dimension to that as well, and we're going to come to that. That supernatural, evil, negative dimension. But primarily, 90% of it, when they say wise men, was that they were able to access knowledge that the natural human person cannot access and use it, as it were, to bend time, to do things in time that the natural person could not. So they looked at them and they said, these guys have higher wisdom. They have higher knowledge. They are magicians. Are you following what I'm saying here? And then when, obviously, demons and devils take advantage of that, then you have pure sorcery and all of that. For example, the wise men, the Magi, that came to visit Jesus. I hope you know they were not believers. They were not Jews. They were magicians. And when I use that word magic, please understand here, what they were astronomers, astrologers, not Pisces and Ecuador, what they call those things, Leo, not that nonsense. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. The Bible tells us in Genesis, the first chapter, it says that the star, the sun, the moon, everything were put in there, and they were for signs. Have you ever read that before? Not just seasons, but for signs, that God put them there for signs. So there were these people who could read the cloud, read the stars, read the movement of things, and predict what will happen. In essence, they were able to look at what other people were looking at and come back with superior wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying here? Everybody looked at the star. They saw star. They saw that a son will be born. Are you following what I'm saying here? And then they had access to the king because of information they had. Everybody is seeing the same thing, but they are seeing something else. Are you following what I'm saying here? Everybody looks up, they see star. They look up, they see a son to be born. And because of that information they have, Herod calls for them and says, please, I need you. Puts them in his employ, even though they are seeing exactly what every other person is seeing, but they are seeing what others are not seeing. So you are seated in the same place. Everybody is seeing the same thing, but you are seeing what others are not seeing. It's like two people that went into India or something like that, two Americans that went into India, and they saw all the little children playing barefoot. And one of them said, what kind of backward people are these? Rubbish and all dress. And the other one looked at them and said, this is a business opportunity. I'm going to go back to America, and that's where these rubber slippers and everything really came from. Produce it, mass produce it, crash the price, and ship it back to India. In less than a year, the man became a multi-million dollar business. Two people saw the same thing. One generated superior idea out of it. Say with me, wise men. Bible wise men. It's important I add that. You follow what I'm saying? When you say I'm a wise man, you see, you have to use it very carefully, because you can't say I'm a wise man, you can't say I'm a magician. You get what I'm saying? There's a reason why. Outside Nigeria, you can see a wise man. All right, Exodus chapter 7. Let's look at that here. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 10. Are you getting anything out of this? Exodus chapter 7, verse 10. We're building up to something. Exodus 7, verse 10. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh. Now look at the wisdom of Egypt. And they did so as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Verse 11, quickly. Then Pharaoh also called, please, who did he call? Come on, talk to me. Who did he call? wise men and the sorcerer. So do you see the company that wise men keeps? In essence, if a man is truly functioning in wisdom, his result will mimic power.
Oh, you didn't get what I said. Oh, you didn't get what I said.
Which means when a man truly is functioning in wisdom, the kind of results he will generate in his life, it will look like he carried sacrifice in the middle of the night. They'll say, no, this is not possible. This is not ordinary. How is it possible for a man to, produce this kind of results? That's what we are seeing here. He says, every time you see the subject of wisdom, particularly remember, the reason we are studying this is that he compared the wisdom of Solomon that God gave him to the wisdom of the children of the East and the wisdom of Egypt. Are you following what I'm saying here? In essence, in the minds of those, for you it's blind, but in the minds of those who read that, the Jews who read that, they immediately looked at it. What's the wisdom of Egypt? They looked at it. What's the wisdom of the children of the East? They saw how that this was not a wisdom of words alone. It was a wisdom of deeds. These men were able to produce results that were far beyond the ordinary, and everybody had to acknowledge that it was supernatural. Is somebody getting what I'm saying here? Listen, I'm telling you this. 2024, your life is not ordinary. Oh, I'm telling you. You can't hear what I'm saying here and live an ordinary life. You are implicated already. I'm telling you the truth. Look at what it says. It says, the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Look at the next verse there, verse 12. It says, for they cast down every man his own rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod did what? Swallowed up their own what? Rods. But who were the men that Pharaoh called to come and do these things? Wise men. Now, please stay with me here. In essence, the same way Moses and Aaron had contracted wisdom from heaven, they were able to drop their rod and it becomes a serpent. These guys too had contacted knowledge from another realm. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you have to understand this, particularly those of us who are in the business or in the secular world. What you are seeing is not reality. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That board meeting is not the reality. Everybody is wearing suit and tie. There's something behind that tie. There's something behind that suit. I gave you the example of a senior colleague of mine in College of Medicine at the time, who is now into politics big time. He told me amazing stories. He told me, he said one time he was contesting for, I won't mention the position, major position in this country, and then all the rest. He was sleeping in the middle of the night, and then he had an open vision. His body was summoned. He saw himself coming out of his body. He was summoned into a room, sat down there. The other guy who was contesting for the same position sat down there. And then one elderly woman that he knows, a major political figure, said, you will have to drop this position for this guy. He said, never, I cannot drop it. You will have to drop this position. Never, he said, then you have to pay with your life. He said, never in the name of Jesus. He said, the moment he said in the name of Jesus, he came back into his body in his room. But at that same instant, as though he entered into another vision, he saw that the woman had entered his room, carried his laptop. He said, all the list numbers and everything of delegates were on that laptop. He said, when that happened, he knew he had lost the election. He said, He said, it looks as though I came back too late. So everybody is doing like this. You people are shooting yourself. You have no idea that certain transactions are taking place. And somebody's saying, I am APC. I am AP. AP. Are you following what I'm saying? He sat down in one of those meetings, one of the governors from the Southwest. They were discussing certain things. After about 2 hours, one of them stood up and said, in vernacular, I won't say it in Yoruba the way he said it. He said, what are you using? He said, initially, they played dumb, like nothing. I'm just here. He said, no. What are you using? Then he stood up. He said, when I woke up this morning, I prayed in tongues for 4 hours. So that's what I'm using. In essence, the man said, when we talk to people, literally they lose their mind, as it were. They just get along with us. You are opposing us. What's going on? How is it that we are not able to break into you? Are you still here? So what you see is not reality. You have to understand that. And to play, unfortunately, it's believers that play. It's believers you hear that will say things like, let's leave spirituality out of this. Oh, let's leave spirituality out of this. Let's leave spirituality out of this. It's hard work. Now, if you are listening to a teaching on wisdom, you know it's hard work. But you know that what is behind that hard work is a depth of spirituality. Are you following what I'm saying here? Look again into Let me just give you one more here. Let's look at Daniel. Look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2, quickly. Daniel chapter 2, we're building up to something here. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 2. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he dreamed dreams, which his spirit was troubled, spirit sleep break from him. Verse 2, quickly. Then the king called, let's read together, one to go, commanded to call who? The magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Now, so you don't see wise men there, right? But look at verse 12 of that same Daniel chapter 2. We're going to something here. Daniel chapter 2, verse 12. Can I have verse 12 very quickly? It says, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy who? All the wise men. So who were the wise men? Go back to verse 2. You see who the wise men were? Astrologers, magicians, sorcerers, the Chaldeans, those were the people that were called the wise men. Look at verse 13. Go back to verse 13 of that same chapter. You love this thing that you see here. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain as well. Now, jump to verse 19. Jump to verse 19 of that same Daniel chapter 2. We're building up to something here this morning. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. You know, Daniel prayed here in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Next verse. All right. Daniel answered and said, now, I want you to observe this. The wise men could not get the dream and could not get the interpretation. And who were the wise men? Magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and all of that. Now, that means this wisdom that we are talking about is a spiritual thing. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's not a book thing. I've told you the place of reading and study, how that when the wisdom of God comes into your mind, the development into your spirit, the development of your mind determines how you can interpret it, how you can work with it. But studying and of itself is not where wisdom comes from. You see that on one hand, you had the wise men, astrologers, and all the rest, and then you had Daniel on the other hand. Now, how did Daniel contact wisdom? It tells you something about wisdom there. It was in prayer, the priesthood ministry, and we're coming to that in just a bit. How that your priesthood determines the wisdom you walk in. I'm going to show you in just a bit. Look at this here. I'm jumping the gun there. It says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever, for wisdom and might are his. Verse 21, run. It says, he changed the times and the seasons. He removed kings and set up kings. Now everybody read that next sentence, want to go. He giveth wisdom unto who? The wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. Next verse. He revealed the deep and secret things. So there are deep and secret things in your field, in your industry, in your enterprise. There are deep and secret things. Now, by the way, this is not for people who just want to live an ordinary life and an okay life, but that you want to live out the fullest potential. This is how. It says, he revealed the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light does what? Dwelleth with him. Next verse there. I thank thee and I praise thee, O God, thou God of my fathers, who has given me what? Wisdom and what? Might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. Now, and I want you to underline wisdom and might there. Might there is referring to power. Did he perform any miracle? Come on, talk to me. Was there any miracle there, as it were? You see the connection between wisdom and generating works that mimics power literally. Look at what it says. And has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Now, go to chapter 4 and verse 8 there. Chapter 4, verse 8 of the same book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 8. Let's read together. Verse 8 and verse 9. I want everybody to read it. Want to go? But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told a dream, saying, next verse. O Belteshazzar, everybody read that next sentence. Belteshazzar there, so you know it's Daniel. Are you following what I'm saying? O Daniel. Which means when people do, it says, by wisdom you will master them. Oh boy. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, this wisdom matter. Many of us think it's just, you know, you sit down somewhere, you write something. Ah, that's deep. Then you start checking how many people have tweeted it. I found out that the most ignorant people are usually the loudest. That's what social media has done. Everybody now has a voice. I'm liberated. And I have a voice. I can say anything I want to say and hide behind an avatar. I can abuse anybody. You can abuse the president and hide under an avatar, behind an avatar. You get what I'm saying? But look at wisdom here. I want you to see the company of wisdom. O Daniel, master of the magicians. Are you seeing this here? Because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. So, me, master of the magicians. That's a good title. Master of the magicians, which means people look at you and they say, listen, I know the Baba I went to, Oshogbo. I went to Oshogbo inside one hut behind Kubwa there. I know the kind of thing he did for me. But this thing I'm looking at here, Ogasa, where did you mix your own? Are you following what I'm saying here? This wisdom is not a matter of somebody just, you know, speaking sweet words. We are saying you generate the kind of results that the occultic realm has to come bow down and say, this is beyond us. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? Listen, I told you at the New Year's Eve service that the Church of Jesus Christ is coming to maturity. Are you following what I'm saying here? We are coming to a place of maturity that three other CEOs will come and sit down with you and say, listen, there's something you're doing that, I mean, it's clear you have gone to get your own power from somewhere else. Who is backing you? What do you know that we don't know? Are you still here? Now, let me quickly say this from the word go, from the get go. As long as your mind is settled on subsistence living, give me food or I die, you cannot enter into relevance and significance. But the moment you know, I am more than this. Somebody say that with me, I am more than this. No, that I am more than this is not even more enough. I said, somebody shout it out loud, I am more than this. Come on, say it again, I am more than this. The moment your heart latches onto it, and you make a complete divorce with just being content with handouts, content with a little progress here and there, knowing that God put you into this place for significance. You didn't ask. He said to Abraham, he said, I will make your name great. No, your name cannot be great receiving miracles alone. Is somebody here with me? Are you learning anything today? So you see that the wisdom that Solomon's wisdom was compared to was a wisdom that studied, had access, pardon me, to superior knowledge, superior information, were looking at the same thing, but able to generate different kinds of counsel decisions. You are seeing what others are not seeing. Is that not what happened with George Washington Carver? We are eating peanuts. He's seen over 200 inventions from peanuts. Resin, rubber, plastic, oil, milk from peanut, and you are just eating it. Bah, 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 bah. I told you that day, I was reading about George Washington Carver, and that evening my children just brought it into the room and said, Daddy, let's have late night snack. And then they checked it was peanut. I said, what are the odds that the night I'm studying about George Washington Carver is the night that peanut is our snack? As I ate it, I said, see your life. I was eating peanuts. I mean, somebody else saw this peanut that you are eating and say, they didn't fry it well. They didn't burn it well. In Nigeria, things are spoiling in Nigeria. I hope you know, it's that same peanut or something they will put egg, they will put inside, sacrifice, and go and put somewhere. Are you following what I'm saying? They've seen into how this can contact the realm of the spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? They'll put the oil, that oil that you are looking at, and say they are using oil for sacrifice. Do you know inside that oil is your own wealth? That they have seen something and they're able to manipulate the spiritual realm because of what they have seen. You pass by and say, all these local people, okay? You that are not local, with all your training, what are you seeing? You see oil, you say, I remember when I used to eat yam and oil when I was growing up, but now, thank God, I'm rich. Are you following what I'm saying here? So we have to understand that this wisdom It's not just I'm talking nice things. No. No, we are building things. Say with me, we are building things. Say with me again, we are building things. Now, as you study this, you see the connection between spirituality and wisdom. These wise men were men who knew how to navigate the realm of the spirit. Another way to put it, in fact, they said is that the magicians, all of those people, they were the priests of those kingdoms. So you were never called a wise man if you were not a priest. So the priesthood undergirds the wisdom of God. And I'm going to run because of the time that we have. The priesthood undergirds the kingdom of God. Malachi chapter 2, you can study it for yourself or you can put it up on the screen there. Malachi chapter 2 verse 7 shows us the connection between the priesthood and the wisdom of God. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he's the messenger of the Lord of hosts. So there's a direct connection between the priesthood. That's why every time, please listen to me, every time they needed wisdom, they needed the counsel of God, who did they send for? Priests. David would say, get me Abiathar the priest. Let him bring the effort. Are you following what I'm saying here? They will inquire from the priest because the priestly ministry is the custodian of the wisdom of God, which means when a man understands and stands in the fullness of his priestly ministry, then he has access to the wisdom of God. It's not something that you just hope that you have. No, it's a priestly ministry. Now, three things there, and I close on this. Three things there that are within the priestly ministry. These are the disciplines of the priestly ministry that when we engage in them, then we can access the wisdom of God. Are you getting anything this morning? All right. Number one there is meditation. And that's why you find out that the Eastern religions are religions of meditation. I don't know if you know what I'm saying here. So the religions that come from the East, Buddhism, Hinduism, Shintoism, and all of those things, all of Taoism, all of those kind of religions, embedded within those, don't forget, it is called the wisdom of the children of the East. Embedded in those religions is the understanding that, listen carefully to me, one of the ways a man can make a connection with the realm of the spirit, which means a realm higher than where he presently exists, is through meditation. So they tell you, sit down, play certain kind of music, keep your mind in a certain position, and then what happens is that your soul is able to levitate, as it were, and enter into realms that, and you are interacting with knowledge that is not available to people on this level. Now, herein lies the problem. They were not the ones who started it. They learnt it because Satan is not a creator, he's an imitator. He learnt it from God. The problem is that the church has left this art, and we have said, in fact, the moment you hear people say meditation, yoga, not knowing that really and truly, it was learned from the church. Meditation is one key way we access the wisdom of God, which means learning to remain still, musing over the scriptures. Now, here is the difference. What you're musing over and turning over in your heart is the scriptures. Let me show you a few scriptures there. Why this is important. Luke 11:49, Jesus was speaking, and then he said, so saith or so speaketh the wisdom of God. Can I have Luke 11:49? Therefore also said the wisdom of God. You see that? He says, therefore also said the wisdom of God. And he was quoting the prophets. Now, so the scriptures is the wisdom of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? He could have said, therefore also said the scriptures. He could have said, therefore also said the Bible. Are you following this here? But he said, therefore also said, the scrolls or the parchment. He says, therefore also said the wisdom of God, because the scriptures is the wisdom of God. And the way we interact with that wisdom primarily is through what? Meditation. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5. You see something powerful there from verse 5 down to verse 7. Something powerful there. It says, behold, I have taught you statutes, judgments, talking about the laws of God, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Look at verse 6. You'll love this. Everybody look at it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your what? Wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. So the nations will see you, and because of your interaction with the word, they will know you're wise. It says, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and what? Understanding people. Are you still here? Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. That's why he tells us, this book of the law, the scripture, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate what? Therein day and night. It says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. Everybody with a loud voice, read that last sentence once you go. For then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have. Now, exchange that word good success. Those of you that have been coming for prayers, remember I did an exegesis on this. Exchange that word good success and put there deal wisely. Because if you read in 1 Samuel 18, four times, he tells us that, and David behaved himself wisely. That's why some translations actually use, instead of good success, deal wisely. David behaved himself wisely. He behaved himself more wisely. He behaved himself very wisely. And he behaved himself wisely. Verse 5, verse 14, verse 15, and verse 30. 1 Samuel 18, you can study it for yourself. So you exchange that phrase there, good success. And what happens is that when I'm meditating upon the word, it grants me the ability to deal wisely. So the first access to the wisdom of God is meditation. You see the same thing in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 98 to verse 100. We've studied this before. Psalm 119, verse, you can't quote all the scriptures. You can't put all the scriptures I'm putting. Just stay with me. Thou through thy commandment has made me wiser than my enemies. So how did he become wiser than his enemies? The word. Look at verse 97, please. Let's put it in context. Verse 97. Are you getting anything? 119, who is on my screen? All right, everybody read with a loud voice. One, two, go. Oh, how I love thy word. Exchange the word love with word. It is my what? Meditation all day. What is the result? Look at verse 98. Thou through thy commandments, thy law, thy word, has made me wiser than my enemies. Can I have verse 99? Just run. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are what? My meditation, verse 100, come on. I understand more than the ancients because I what? Keep thy precept. Look at verse 101. You love it as well. I mean, you can read that. I have refrained my feet from unrest that I might keep thy word. Is it verse 102? What the point is, meditating on the word there is our first access to the wisdom of God. Nobody will be wiser than the attention they give to the word in meditation. Are you following what I'm saying here? And by that, we're talking about shutting out the noise, interacting with the word, taking portions of the scripture, and then musing deeply over it, confessing it out of your mouth as well. People in the Eastern religion know that this is an access to information that is not on this level. The church needs to reclaim it back. Are you following what I'm saying? And you know the power of meditation, I've shown you in the life of Isaac. And Isaac went out. Is it evening or afternoon, the Bible says? In the afternoon, is evening, whatever time it is. You can go out in midnight. He went out, and the Bible says that he sat down and he meditated. As he meditated, the Bible says he lifted up his eyes and he saw. So we see in meditation. Are you following what I'm saying here? Is that Genesis 24 or something like that? We see in meditation. That's what happens. So meditation is extremely important. Number two is prayer. We're talking about the priestly disciplines that connects us with the wisdom of God, prayer. And in this case, we're talking about specific prayer. James chapter 1 and verse 5 down to verse 8 talks about it. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. It says, God giveth liberally. He would not upbraid him. It says, but when you are asking, let him ask in faith. It says, not wavering. It says, for a double-minded man shall, let him not think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know, we have used that to teach faith on a general level, but it's faith for wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying here? It says, if you find yourself in a tough place and all the rest, you're going through diverse tests and temptations. He didn't say, go and pray that God should deliver you out of that place. And let me explain this here. Why wisdom many a times will start from your needs, from the point of your need. Because every need that shows up in your life, major need in your life, is a gap in the kingdom that needs to be filled. Are you following what I'm saying here? In essence, you are so much an integral part of the kingdom that when things start happening in your life, you have to have that higher view. You are not just trying to get an answer to your own situation. I mean, the Bible says that you will comfort others with the comfort wherewith you have been comforted. You understand what I'm saying here? It's like Hannah, the moment she realized that there's a gap in the prophethood of Israel, and she says, hey, God, give me a son, I will give you a prophet. Her prayers were answered. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you have to sit in that light. So you are asking there for the wisdom of God. 1 Kings chapter 3 as well. You see, Solomon as well asked. He prayed, and the Bible tells us that, and this thing pleased the Lord. So, second avenue of contacting, wherewith we contact the wisdom of God, is through prayer. And these are priestly duties. Number one, meditation. Number two, prayer. Number three are your seeds. I've said this over and over. I did an entire teaching, I think whether Wednesday, Thursday, I don't know. One of the days is somewhere there, is online. I did an entire teaching explaining how that, please listen to me, everybody here. The Bible says that God is the Father of lights. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? And the Bible adds to that in context, it says that he giveth good and perfect gifts. Are you following this here? And then it says that in him there is no variableness, nor what? Shadow of turning. So the context of the gifts is the context of light. Is somebody following here? In him there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. So the answer, and you have to understand this, the primary way God interacts with us is not in material things but in light. That's the primary way. So when we give, you see, because it's not too difficult for us in prayer to understand this, in meditation to understand this, but in giving we miss it out many a times. When we give to the Lord, You know, many people think what's going to happen is that, I gave a shirt, somebody will give me 10 shirts. And whilst that is possible, I need you to understand that that's not the full harvest on your seed. Are you following what I'm saying here? Or somebody saying, I just felt impressed in my heart to give you 1 million naira, $1 million. I mean, it can happen and it will happen, but it is not a sustainable way of becoming all God has called you to be. Are you following what I'm saying here? So if I am giving, how then does God return back to me? Don't forget, in 1 Kings, the third chapter, it was the giving of Solomon that invited God to Solomon. In essence, the Bible says he gave 1,000 burnt offerings. In the middle of the night, God showed up and said, tell me whatever it is you want. I will answer you. So you see, something was triggered by his sacrifice in that place. And what was triggered in that place? And God wants us to see that process. Solomon could have said, I want the life of my enemies. Let them fall down and die. God said, I'm glad you didn't ask for that. You didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for honor. You didn't ask for wealth. You asked for wisdom. In essence, the highest return on any seed sown is the wisdom of God communicated into your heart. That's the highest return. I gave you this scripture. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Which we use many a times to teach seed sowing. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom, not your hand. You cannot receive a car into your bosom. You can't receive a house into your bosom. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? When you study through scriptures, you understand that bosom there refers to the seat of thoughts, the seat of ideas. That's why he says, I will open up the windows of heaven. He says, windows, plural, but I am pouring out a blessing. He didn't say, I will open a window in heaven. I will open up windows in heaven and I will pour out a blessing. So the return on our giving, and this is important. This is important. The return on your giving is in ideas, concepts, and insights. You have to understand this. So when we are giving in that place, we are giving our tithes and all of the rest. We are giving our seed. And let me quickly say this here. You know, people say a lot of funny things and all the rest. I shared with you Algy Letonier, a man who never went to university. By wisdom, he will sit down in his office and, you know, I always give you the names of these people so you can go and read it yourself. Mover of Men and Mountains. That's the book that he wrote. Algy Letonier, I think his wife was the one that said they should write it together. Never went to school and all the rest. He said he will sit down. I mean, all these your tractors, what you call cat tractors, earth moving equipment and all the rest that they use for bulldozers and all the rest. He was the man who invented them. It was invented as machines of war for World War II. So when World War II ended, they re-engineered it to now use it for earth moving business and things like that. How did he get into it? He said, I will give my tithe. he had learned this principle. I'll give my tithe. He says, when I give my tithe, I fully expect that the windows of heaven will be open. I'm not looking for, he said, there's no car for God to drop from heaven. There's no house. If it's the windows of heaven that open, then it can't be house, it can't be car that God will drop. God showed him that it was going to be an idea that he will drop into his spirit. He will sit down in his office, and then he would have those images. He will try to draw them out. He will take the sheet of paper and go and give engineers who went to school to fabricate what he had seen. They'll say, it can't work like this. I saw what I saw. Make sure it works. Never went to school. Today has a university by his name. He said at one point he noticed that these ideas and this vision stopped coming. So he went to God and he said, God, what is going on here? What have I done wrong? And God said, you have flouted the principle that produced this thing. He said, what's the principle? He actually did not even know that it was that directly connected. You know, you can know something but not know and know that this is the real thing. He said, is it my giving of my tithe and all the rest? He said, in this case, this is what I will do. He said, I will flip it over. He started giving 90% and started living on 10%. Go and read the story. The grannies on steroids that I told you about, the part I didn't tell you, if you listen to their story, they said that where their breakthrough started was that they were under temptation because they were in bankruptcy to hold back their tithe. And they said, we will not hold this back. This is the secret to our breakthrough. We fully understand that this is how we connect you. Listen. The world understands this. Are you following what I'm saying here? The world understands it. You go and meet a juju priest and they'll say, bring a ram and a goat. Demons don't eat ram and goat. I hope you know. Have you ever seen a demon that is eating ram and goat? So why are they saying that? Remembering that Satan is an imitator, he didn't even create anything. Understanding the law of altars and sacrifices. Is somebody here today? So when we say wise men, magician, you are one. You are the master of the magicians. Are you following what I'm saying? The same way they can bend spiritual things, there are principles that we have learned that you can use as well to bend spiritual things. Glory to God. Say this with me, wisdom is mine. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, say it one more time. Wisdom is mine. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, please lift your right hand towards heaven and say this to me. Heavenly Father, this year 2024, I surpass my imaginations, my plans, my goals. By reason of wisdom, I build institutions, systems, organizations. I release products that baffles the human mind. By reason of wisdom, many are coming to the light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The testimony around me is this. What wisdom is this? That these mighty works are done by my hands. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a big hand of praise.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. To be a part of any of our programs or services, visit our website www.petroscc.org for our different locations and service times. We'll be happy to have you join our online community. Follow us on our social media handle on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Petro Christian Center. You can also reach us via email at correspondent@petroscc.org. or call us on 070-173-87222. Petro Christian Center, building Jesus communities globally.